Peter B. Collins News and Commentary, Tuesday, February 21st. It's all about oil today.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold. Texas tea.
Texas tea.
Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Kinfolk said Jed.
I'm back from a few days off. I was up on the north coast of California in Eureka and Arcata, where I'm supporting a candidate for Congress. Susan Adams is a Marin County supervisor and a progressive, a nurse. And when we talked to people in Arcata on Thursday evening, gasoline prices were on people's minds because in that area of California, they already pay more than we do here in the Bay Area or in Los Angeles because of the costs of getting the fuel to the remote locations over difficult roads through the redwoods. Or is it? People on the North Coast have been fighting a depression for at least 10 years now. Since Pacific Lumber closed down the mill in Scotia, and after the maneuvers of a rapacious vulture capitalist named Charles Hurwitz, that community has been hurting for a long time. But we saw a spike in gas prices at the end of last week of 12 to 15 cents a gallon. And while the battle over birth control and religious freedom was dominating the news, at the House Resources Committee, Republicans rammed through legislation that would lift California's state-level ban on drilling off the shore of our coastline. Now, there isn't much oil out there to begin with. But Republicans are trying to use rising gas prices as a political weapon against the president because he hasn't drilled, baby, drill, drill, drill. And this is a president who has caved in to the resource extractors, granted more offshore drilling contracts, relaxed regulations about nuclear power plants with guarantees from the taxpayers that are greater than the investments of the utilities. Yes, I'm talking about the Southern Company's two new nuclear plants, which were just licensed for construction in Georgia, where the Savannah River is already radioactive, or close to it. So the disconnect between Republicans and reality is growing by day. And not only do Republicans want to violate our state's rights and impose offshore drilling for very limited gain, they want to eviscerate the regulations that dictate control over water supplies in California. And if you don't live here, here are the simple facts. There's more water in the north part of the state than there is in the south. Los Angeles used to be a desert, and it has plants and things growing because of water that comes from the Sacramento River Delta and the rivers in the northern part of the state. And there's been a dispute in the Central Valley over the last few years about the role that court decisions to protect the Delta smelt and other fish species have contributed to huge shortfalls of water supply in the Central Valley. And this is a concocted argument. I've looked at this very carefully, and what we know is that there were declines in water supply to the Central Valley because we had a drought. Yeah, it's that simple. But they want to blame the fish. They want to blame activist judges. They want to blame tree-hugging environmentalists. And meanwhile, they want to lift the environmental rules. They want to transfer more Northern California water to farmers in the Central Valley with huge federal subsidies. They don't pay the market value for the water they consume. And this, of course, will not survive. These are acts of the Republican-controlled House of Representatives that will not pass the Senate, at least not the way the Senate is currently comprised. But I think Democrats are going to lose big in the Senate this fall, even if Obama wins and even if Pelosi wins back control of the House. The numbers simply aren't there. So while we can laugh a little bit at this grab by the Republicans, as desperate as it is, it's the kind of thing that could be back in our faces a year from now with a different set of majorities in Washington, and it could be very, very dangerous. Well, the super PAC spent $24 million in January alone, and the bulk of that money, of course, is being spent by Republicans attacking Republicans. And it's a real mess. We really need to deal with the Citizens United decision, but it certainly won't happen during this election season, and it's going to be quite a ride. Well, over the weekend, Pope Benedict XVI elevated 22 bishops to cardinal. They get to wear red clothes now with that red beanie. And my friend Pizzo headlines this, Godfather makes 22 made men at Italian sit-down. And when you think, for example, that Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, has just been promoted to cardinal. Why? Well, because he's leading the charge in this phony battle over contraception and claiming that his religious rights are at issue. And as we've stated here, the bishops of the United States are trying to get the government to do what they can't, which is to make Catholics stop using birth control. And this is so insidious and offensive. And these are the same guys who belong to a fraternity that is responsible for massive sex crimes. And I know that makes some Catholics uncomfortable when you talk about the real extent of the pedophilia crisis. It is rampant. It is endemic. It crosses boundaries geographically. I mean, come on. Germany, Ireland, the United States are epicenters of priests gone wild. And these men who were just made cardinal are the ones responsible for moving those priests around, defying secular authorities who want to investigate or prosecute those people. And they're responsive for massive cover-ups. And then they turn around and pay cash settlements to try to silence the victims. It's really obscene and decidedly unchristian. And in a related matter, Boy Scouts have been ordered by a court to turn over their files on sex abuse in the Boy Scouts. And apparently, there are detailed records of cases and victims. And this has been covered up by the Boy Scouts as they proceed on a homophobic bender to prevent gay men from becoming scout leaders. Talk about offensive. And the lack of accountability for these people who are put in charge of our kids because they're Boy Scouts or because they're priests, it's really frustrating. Breaking news at Boiling Frogs Post today, my colleague Sabelle Edmonds reporting that a court order in the state of Ohio is blocking attorney Bruce Fine. He's being removed from a case there. He apparently does not have registration with the bar in Ohio to practice law there. And you can read the details at boilingfrogspost.com. But this comes out of a race for Congress between Mean Gene Schmidt of Cincinnati, where I grew up, and a guy named David Krikorian. And Krikorian accused her during the campaign of receiving blood money from Turkey. And this has led to a protracted legal struggle between the two. And one of the issues that's come up is that Bruce Fine, whom I used to respect, because he was one of the few Republicans who would stand up and say that George W. Bush and Dick Cheney deserved to be impeached. Well, Bruce Fine has another side, a dark side. He's the consigliere for the nation of Turkey and their AIPAC-like organization in Washington that doesn't register as a foreign lobby but just acts like one, called the American-Turkish Council. And in the court filings, there's a dispute between Fine and Gene Schmidt because Gene Schmidt says she did not know that Bruce Fine arranged for someone else, apparently a Turkish-American group, to pay $500,000 in Gene Schmidt's legal bills from her cases with David Krikorian. And based on the findings of the Ohio Court of Appeals and an ethics committee, it says that Fine did not send Schmidt any bills and didn't tell her that her bills were being paid by TCA, the Turkish lobby group. And since Schmidt didn't know she was receiving a gift, the committee decided not to sanction Jean Schmidt. I think there's some winks and nods there that don't show up on the record between Bruce Fine and Jean Schmidt. Over at bradblog.com, Andy Breitbart is back in the news because a federal district court has denied his attempt to have the defamation lawsuit from Shirley Sherrod dismissed. And she was the victim of one of those Breitbart videos where they selectively edited some comments that she made. She's an African-American who used to work for the Department of Agriculture. And they made her out to look like a racist, an anti-white racist, when in fact, in context, her remarks didn't mean that at all. And the sooner we can get Andy Breitbart behind bars and stop his antics, the better off we'll all be. On this program, we've talked a lot about Apple Computer. I love my Apple products, and I hate the way they are manufactured. And Foxconn, one of the biggest manufacturers of Apple products, has agreed to increase salaries by 16 to 25% so that an average worker will be paid $400 a month before overtime, and they said they will reduce overtime at its factories. Well, we've got to keep the pressure on. Apple has been doing some things right. They have disclosed who their contractors are and that they audit the working conditions there. That's a start. But we need to keep pressuring Apple to produce. Essentially, the way we have fair trade coffee, I want a fair trade iPhone that is certified that it was manufactured under conditions that we can approve of. And I can't say we would be proud of, but at least we would not feel that the products that we use were created under sweatshop conditions or worse. Kudos to the women in Virginia who went to the state capitol Monday in Richmond and silently stood in protest of abhorrent legislation that is designed to discourage women from having an abortion by forcing them to have a vaginal ultrasound treatment. And they use this unusual tactic, no signs, and complete silence. And it seems to be very effective. The shame was evident just from watching this scene on television last night. And finally, just a little note that I saw as I was watching TV news and saw the portion of a Mitt Romney commercial that was actually produced by the Romney campaign. And the name of his committee is Romney for President Incorporated. I have never seen a campaign committee that's incorporated. And I just think it speaks volume about the corporate tool that Mitt Romney is, and he can't even close the deal with Republicans. Hey, thanks for listening today. Grab my latest in-depth interview with Gareth Porter about Afghanistan at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.